And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. It is First Amendment Friday here on The Awakening. I am glad to be with you. I'm sitting up 8,000 feet above sea level in the mountains of Colorado, not far from Colorado Springs in Woodland Park, here at on the campus of Andrew Womack Ministries. I want to thank Andrew Womack and the great staff of people that he has for the hospitality and the warmth and the friendliness. It's really been a wonderful time. I've been doing some important work here. I'm doing some recordings for his Biblical Worldview series on race and on Marxism, socialism, and communism. I don't know when that will be available, but I'll keep you posted. It's very, very important that we as Americans get a handle on how we deal with race, because the left is exploiting it to divide us and to basically pull the country into a Marxist direction. And I think I've got an answer to how we deal with that, and that's what I explore in these talks that I give in this Biblical Worldview series. So you'll be hearing more about that as the time comes. Look, it is snowing where I am. I hope it's not where you are. I lived in Massachusetts for over 20 years. I had more than enough snow, but it is quite beautiful. I have to admit, it is quite beautiful. Now, this is First Amendment Friday. I want to get your calls in as early as I can. The number is 888-589-8840. Let me hit a couple things to just get us started, shall we? And you know me, I'm upbeat. I'm optimistic. I'm full of faith in God. I just believe God loves us and wants good for us and will do good for us. And all we've got to do is cooperate with him, and he will work things out. That does not mean, of course, that we won't have difficulties and problems, because Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So, and then John chapter 4, I think it is, says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, first epistle of John. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And so I'm very optimistic because of my faith in God and his love for us. But you know, there are some things that are happening that we can't simply pray about. We've got to take some kind of action. So let me just lay out the first thing for you. Here in Virginia, our governor, you remember the governor, Governor Blackface, Governor Ku Klux Klan mask, you know, the liberal governor who's always pointing out the racism of others, you know, that governor, yeah, Governor Ralph Northam. The governor, by the way, who, when I debated him when we were running for lieutenant governor, when I debated him at a television station and reached out to shake his hand, would not shake my hand. Yeah, that one. Well, he's just clamped down further on Virginians, and he has decided that Virginians will no longer be allowed to gather in groups of 25, which had been the limit before. It's now down to 10, okay? And he has, in addition to that, he has said that we have to have a curfew now from midnight to 5 a.m. He says, because his mother always said that nothing good happens between midnight and 5 a.m. So, and by the way, I've told you all this, and I really mean it, because you all say some brilliant things and you have some tremendous insights, because of course you bring common sense and godly wisdom to it. Can one of you please explain to me how a curfew from 12 midnight to 5 a.m. is supposed to help stop the spread of COVID? I'm sure the brilliant Ralph Northam must have something in mind that the rest of us can't understand. The only explanation he gave, however, was, as my mother used to say, nothing good happens between midnight and 5 a.m. Oh, that's the explanation. Ah, okay. All right, that satisfies me. And in addition to that, this is the worst of it. While because of the Supreme Court decision, thank God for Amy Coney Barrett. Do you realize if President Trump had not appointed her, do you realize that decision in Brooklyn versus Cuomo would have gone the other way, and they would have upheld the ability of these governors and mayors to restrict churches in inappropriate and unconstitutional ways? I tell you, I will be thanking Donald Trump for the rest of my life for his presidency. And I trust it will go on for another 4 years. But that alone to me is enough, because these people don't, these leftists don't respect the Constitution. They don't care about our constitutional rights. And thank God we now have another justice on the court who actually takes the Constitution seriously, who doesn't believe that it's just some antiquated document like Justice Ginsburg did, who thought that it was past its time and that we ought to have a constitution more like the South African constitution. Y'all remember that? Yeah, she said that. Yeah, our constitution should be more like the South African constitution. To which I said, well, why don't you go to South Africa and be a Supreme Court justice there and leave us alone? Now, thank God for all of that, but these little petty tyrants never get enough of trying to control people. And so here's what the governor said, and you're going to love this. Well, I can't restrict churches because of the Supreme Court decision. And, you know, that just breaks his heart. I mean, you know, you got this little thing called the Constitution. That little stupid thing is in the way. And if it weren't for that and these dumb Supreme Court justices who actually take it seriously, man, I could just have complete control over everybody and everything. But I would, he said, I would recommend to churches that you not meet. Yeah. He's recommending churches not to meet. He said, because after all, you don't need to meet to pray. You don't need to be in a church to worship. Now, this is Ralph Northam giving pastors advice about their spiritual well-being and the well-being of their people. Now, if I were going to take spiritual advice from anybody, and I made a long list of who those persons might be, very near the bottom of the list, if not at the bottom of the list, would be Ralph Northam. In fact, he might just be just above the devil. I mean, please. He recommends that churches not meet. First of all, from everything I'm reading, while the cases are spiking, the death rate is not going up. In fact, last I read, the death rate was falling. We know who is susceptible to this thing. We know who the people most at risk are. Instead of locking everybody down, and we know that a vaccine is coming out, instead of locking everybody down and coming up with these stupid rules about, if I want to go out and buy gas, I've got to leave early the next morning, and I realize, oh, I don't have gas, and I don't want to wait until tomorrow morning to do it. I can't go out after midnight because I'll be in violation of the governor's orders. I'm a free American. I can go out any time I want. Please, are you kidding me? I mean, these people, just like their communist progenitors, just like their intellectual legacy would suggest, they love totalitarian control. They love it. They live for it. The ability to order people around and make people do. In fact, I understand that Biden is planning to mandate mask wearing. You know, it's not enough that most people are wearing them anyway. No, that's not enough. Oh, and Ralph Northam said, I heard that since some churches, they're not wearing masks and they're not practicing social distancing. Well, you know, frankly, in my view, that's none of his business. The only thing that ought to matter to him is whether any of those churches are having outbreaks of COVID. And if they're not, shut up and going about the business of doing what you were elected and hired and are paid by the taxpayers to do, which is to manage the government and leave the private affairs of the American people alone. You can make recommendations. You can advise us. You can give us the very best information you've got. And look, here's the last thing I say about this, folks. In Florida, they've got a very low rate of cases and deaths, and they have no mandates. The governor there has said, we've got advisories, we advise people what to do, and the people of Florida are doing it. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Earlier this week, I talked about a study by Dr. Robert Epstein, who documented that Google bias may have shifted at least 6 million votes to Joe Biden. It turns out that this is not the first instance in which technology was used to rig an election. This happened in the 1876 election of Rutherford B. Hayes. Back then, we didn't have the internet, but we did have the telegraph, and Western Union had a monopoly on communications in America. Just before the election, the company manipulated information so that only positive news stories about Hayes appeared in the newspapers nationwide. Also, Western Union shared all of the telegrams sent by Samuel Tilden's campaign staff with the campaign staff of Rutherford Hayes. A recent article in the Washington Post recorded that voter intimidation was rampant in some of the southern states, like Louisiana and Florida. Voter fraud was widespread in both parties. Southern Democrats used repeaters, which were people who voted repeatedly. They also printed fraudulent ballots to trick illiterate black voters into voting for Democrats. Voter turnout was the highest ever for a presidential election. In South Carolina, despite voter suppression, the official turnout was 101% of eligible voters. The Republicans argue that Hayes would have won easily if there had been honest voting. Does any of this sound familiar? An electoral commission was formed and eventually awarded the needed electoral votes to Hayes, who won 185 to 184. Democrats were furious and began a filibuster. There were cries of Tilden or blood, with a news report that a mob would descend on the Capitol to see that the vote count was done correctly. You know, we sometimes think we're in uncharted territory. Actually, something similar happened in a presidential election 144 years ago. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you just heard by visiting pointofview.net. That's pointofview.net.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Notorious late-term abortionist Leroy Carhart may have to close his abortion facility in Maryland. The medical waste disposal company, BioHaz, stopped hauling away the baby's bodies and other medical waste. This makes the third disposal company that's canceled business with this aging abortionist. Carhart doesn't shy away from using the term baby with the mothers who seek his services, but he has no qualms about killing them anytime they're still in their mother's wombs. Carhart has a checkered past. During the last 8 years, at least 18 medical emergencies were documented at his abortion facilities in Nebraska and Maryland. One woman died along with her baby. This is the true, ugly face of legal abortion in America.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Brian Fisher here. Joe Biden's son and brother may land in prison and he may be as guilty as they are. If Biden wins the presidency, cheating will be the norm and we may have seen our last fair election. Georgia's GOP wants to prevent voter fraud on January 5. It may be too little too late. And Biden's aides are freaking over the coming tsunami of illegal aliens. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
By all means, folks, check out that podcast page. And look, I want to hit a couple of other things, and then I want to come to your calls. I want to get to them in this segment. Justice Gorsuch wrote in Diocese of Brooklyn versus Cuomo, quote, "It is time, past time, to make plain that while the pandemic poses many grave challenges, there is no world in which the Constitution tolerates color-coded executive edicts that reopen liquor stores and bike shops but shutter churches." Good for you, Justice Gorsuch. And good for those five justices who upheld the First Amendment of the Constitution. Quickly to run through a few things that I just want to touch bases with you on. Tony Dungy is a new hero of mine. I've always heard that Tony Dungy is a Christian, but he has jumped all over this pastor, Raphael Warnock, and said, "I know he is a pastor. The question is he a Christian?" Good for you, Tony. Good for you. God bless you for raising the important issue that a lot of people want to skirt around. I can answer the question for you. No, he's not. The court disqualified a Soros-backed prosecutor in that case involving the couple who had their home encroached on by these rioters, and they pulled weapons. They're now being prosecuted by Kim Gardner. Well, Kim Gardner has been ordered off the case because she did fundraising on this case for her own campaign, in which she basically said things that the judge says disqualify you from serving as a fair and objective prosecutor. So good for that court. And, you know, she's a George Soros financed person. So once again, George Soros' little filthy hands are involved in American politics in ways that that are extremely unhealthy for our country. Somebody ought to investigate him. Biden's promise of amnesty for illegal immigrants is already causing a surge at the border. I'm not going to say I told you so because you all knew it anyway. I said the only way to stop this stuff is you've got to have a zero tolerance policy for crossing our border illegally and say to people, if you come here illegally, you will never be a citizen of this country. Never, ever, ever, ever. If you come here illegally and you have children, we need to change the policy. You have children in this country. They are not American citizens because you violated our laws. They can come back as adults or they can come back when they're of age and we will consider them for citizenship. But you, the parent who crossed our borders illegally, will never be considered for American citizenship. That's the way it ought to go. And then you'll stop people from crowding our borders. See, right now, they've gotten the message from Biden. Come on over. Don't pay any attention to all that law stuff. We'll get you in and we'll make you citizens. Just come on over and vote for Democrats. And that's really all that matters. The Wall Street Journal's reported that Joe Biden's deputies are raising questions about this. But I mean, does he really care? I doubt it. Okay. All right. I'm going to leave it at that. There's plenty of other stuff we could talk about. And so maybe you'll bring up some of the other topics that we've talked about during the week or that I haven't raised today. But let's get to your calls. And thank you all for your patience in letting me get this set up. Let's go to, is that Juolo in Texas? Juolo. Juolo, you got to turn your radio off. Are you there?
Julio.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Julio. Okay.
Okay, my bad.
All right, Julio.
How you going, man? All right.
Going great. How are you doing?
Excellent, man. Hey, what? First of all, let me make all these liberals mad. Merry Christmas. And second off, I'd like to
and
say,
Merry Christmas hey, man, back at you, Julio. Great.
All right, brother. Thank you. Hey, man, we have a Texas representative out here, Kyle Bitterman. He wants to introduce with other Texans to see what they would want to do as far as trying to secede from the union. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Anyways, in the same area in Frisco, there's this this woman who wants to take away everyone's rights to protect your house. If somebody wants to come and steal from your house, hey, just let them steal what they want. Don't kill them. It's all right. And if they want to try to rape you, I guess that's okay too. Anyways, I just want everyone to know how ridiculous and wrong and absurd it is of all these liberals and all these Democrats. You know, I get worked up, you know, thinking about it, listening to it, you know, consistently. Anyways, I'm in the truck with my father-in-law. He's a white guy, and I'm a brown dude. please tell me how racism is alive. Please tell me. You know, they just need to quit trying to divide everybody. Bishop, I thank you. I thank the program.
Thank you, Julio.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas to you, Julio. Thanks for the call. You know, that's America, folks. You know, most of us, you know what we want to do? We want to live our lives. We want to treat our neighbor right. We want to be treated right by others. And we want to get on the business of raising our families and educating our children and building our businesses and working our jobs. And these leftists just don't want you to do that because they want control over everybody's life. And they're using race to try to divide everybody. Now, as far as secession is concerned, look, if I have a choice between secession and getting rid of all the people who are causing the problems, and when I say getting rid of, I mean having those people leave the country, I would just rather invite them. I would just rather say, look, if you hate America, you think we're such a bad place, and you think we're all racist, and you think we're all, I don't know, greedy capitalists or whatever, why don't you just go where you think you can live a happy, peaceful life and leave the rest of us alone? And then we don't need secession. We can be the happy United States of America. We just don't have to have all these crazy leftists running around trying to destroy our country. All right, thank you for the call, Julio. Let's go to Joe in Tennessee. Joe, welcome.
Yes, Bishop, I just love your program. You're great. I've got a comment.
Thank you.
I've always been a peace-loving person, but it's getting to where I feel like a lot of people like myself who are like-minded feel like we're being pushed in a corner. And at some time, this is going to pop. And what is your thoughts on that?
Well, look, Joe, I think you're right. I think people can only be pushed so far and something bad is going to happen. I think you're right. But let me hasten to add, I don't want us to have to ever get to that point. I really don't. We've got such a wonderful country. And here again, you know, I think if you removed probably the 20%, maybe 15%, maybe 10% of these radical leftists who are stirring up trouble, if you got rid of, and here again, folks, I say get rid of, you all understand, I'm not talking about violence, but if you got out of the picture, the George Soroses of the world and some of these other billionaire players, some of these big tech people, if you remove their influence, now I know there's no way to do this, you know, that's at least it comes to mind. But if you did, if they say they all decided, you know what, we do hate America. We don't like this country. We're going to go and start the island of socialist paradise. We're going to go buy an island and it's going to be the island of paradise. And we said, fine, great, good riddance, goodbye. You know what? I think our country would be just fine without them. And we would go on and live peaceably. And we would get along across racial and cultural lines. So I'm just hoping that nothing like that ever happens. It would be a terrible, terrible thing to have to witness in our country. But I do think you're right about this too. I think the left is pushing those buttons. I think they want that, so that they can point the fingers. See those right-wing fascist crazies? See, you see what we mean? They're the problem. When the fact of the matter is, we're the peace-loving folks who pray for our enemies and try to do good to those who persecute us and want the best for everybody. And they're the ones who are constantly pushing the envelope and trying to control every aspect of our lives. They're the ones who are trying to kill our babies. They're the ones who are trying to destroy our country with drugs and they're the ones who want to be able to kill grandma because her quality of life is no longer what they think it should be. So, I mean, please, we would be just fine without them, okay? So it's a friendly invitation to all the Hollywood crowd and the big tech crowd and all the crowd. It's just a friendly invitation to depart. Okay, let's see. I think I've got time, don't I? I think let's go to Van in Minnesota. Van, welcome. Van, are you there? Oops, you know what? I'm sorry. I think I pressed the wrong. Well, no. I've got Van. Okay, Van, something's not going right there. Let's go to, is it Najiba? Uh-oh. Is it Najiba in Ohio? Najiba, are you there? Okay. I think I might be having a little technical problem here. Let's try Mike in Oklahoma. Mike, welcome.
Yeah, this is Mike.
There you go, Mike. Great.
I'm in. Okay. Thanks for taking my call. And I just wanted to say that here in Oklahoma, we're not locked down. But if you watch the mainstream media, you know, the numbers are just astronomical in our state. And everybody is just panicking, and you see people driving down the road with masks on by themselves in cars. You go to like a Home Depot, and they all look at you funny if you don't have a mask on. And then at night, when I drive home from events that I might be a part of, there's hospitals that are closed, or not anybody there at the hospitals. And that's what I wanted to get out there with. Yeah. The hospitals, they say on the news that they're being overrun, but.
Yeah, how can they be overrun if they're closed? Mike, that's going to do it. I've got to take a break. Folks, we'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
It was several years ago now that Jim Voss came out of service from the Second World War. in the service, he'd learned much about electronics. Many folks would have considered him a master in the field. At least his bosses thought he was pretty good. Jim Voss was working for a group of organized gamblers following that devastating war. He made good money. That's what most criminals, gamblers or not, are looking for. Jim got the jobs, such as wiretapping, and got the good payoffs. One night, Jim was waiting for a flight to St. Louis from Los Angeles and had some time to kill. Billy Graham was preaching in a crusade in Los Angeles, and by some quirk of fate, or rather, providence, Jim Voss wandered into the place where Dr. Graham was preaching. Seemingly indifferent to the words of the famed evangelist, Jim stood near the back of the hall. He didn't want to go too far inside. He was just curious and was planning on leaving as soon as the show was over. As he always does, Dr. Graham gave the invitation for those who would give their life to the carpenter from Nazareth to come forward during the singing of a hymn. As the crowd sang, a hand tapped Jim Voss on the shoulder, and he heard a voice speak. "Will you go forward with me?" the gentleman asked. In natural reaction, Jim Voss turned on him. "Lay off me, or I'll knock your head off," he blurted out. The soft-spoken man spoke again. "You can do anything you like to me, but that won't right things between you and God." It must have seemed like ages, but it was just a matter of seconds till Jim Voss took that first step toward the altar. Each step became easier. With emotion showing in his face, Jim walked down that aisle, vowing to make a clean break with the past, to change things, to settle the matter between him and his Creator. At the altar that night, Jim put away the old Jim Voss and put on a new one. He went away from that meeting a changed man. His break with the past was almost as dramatic as that of the Jewish tent maker Paul. You know, there comes a time in every person's life when such a decision has to be made. He has to look at himself, ask himself some deep questions, and come face to face with the facts. The result isn't always like that of Jim Voss. Many times when the time comes for the decision, we just ignore it, pretending it isn't there, giving no thought to our Creator and our Carpenter. Back in the 1800s, James Russell Lowell wrote a poem. We've turned it into a hymn. "Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide, in the strife of truth and falsehood for the good or evil side. Then it is the brave man chooses, while the coward stands aside, till the multitude make virtue of the faith they had denied." You know, this could be your moment. For Jim Voss, the moment he made his decision was probably the last one he could have had. You see, the plane he didn't catch that night was met in St. Louis by gunmen who had orders to kill him. How many more chances do you have? Are you sure about that?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We're back. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's come right back to your calls. Van in Minnesota. Van, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thank you for calling. Yes, I can hear you just fine. Thank you for calling.
May God bless you for all you do. I have a thing that what I want to say is lay heavy on my heart that, you know, I must tell you. Why all this political stuff that's going on, you know, government this, government that. Why don't you tell the people why government was formed? Why, when, and you know, and where, and what for? You know, because people, and this, I mean, I'm trying to say it before all of the corruption got in there. If you understand what I'm saying, where I'm coming from, because
I think I do.
And I know you know the Bible a lot better than I do, even though I went through it. But you could probably give a reminder of where, why and where, the, you know, government was formed.
Okay, Van, listen, I appreciate that suggestion. And, you know, it's always good to go back to the Word of God. Thank you so much for the call. And folks, I don't have time to do that today. But of course, the first real institution of government was Moses when he brought down the law from Mount Sinai and began to organize the people and set up judicial districts in the tribes. But, you know, I think the most important thing to say about that, I said I didn't have time to go into it, but I'll go into it this little bit. The most important thing to say about that was it was their relationship with God that was to control their behavior. And the only reason why government was set up at all was because God knew that people weren't going to obey his word in every aspect, and that conflicts and issues between them needed to be resolved. But it was supposed to be their relationship with God that controlled their behavior, not the edicts of some government. So in that sense, our government here in the United States is closer to the biblical model because our Constitution enumerates limitations on government, says government may do this and nothing else. But thank you for the call, Van. We appreciate it. Let's see. Let's go to, Najiba in Ohio. Najiba, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
And, well, thank you for calling.
Well, it's my first time, and I've never heard of you until yesterday. And the gentleman that called yesterday to say we have such a bad education, I was just very excited to hear about a man named Sergeant William Carney. Have you ever heard of him?
The name rings a bell, but why don't you inform us?
Well, Mike Rowe told us about him. You know, Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe. He was the first Black American Congressional Medal of Honor recipient.
Ah, yes.
He got shot like 5 times holding the flag up off the ground. He was a slave. He was a slave, and he fought for the North and would not let that flag hit the ground. And I was just so impressed with his story. I think, why aren't we hearing about all the heroes? No, my dad is 100% Arab, and my son is a soldier. And I just think that I looked up Hoosier. What are the Hoosiers? Because that's where my father is from. He came from Syria, went to Indianapolis, and I think a Hoosier, from what I'm finding, is a Black preacher from the 18th century.
Listen, Najiba, that is my understanding as well. Najiba, thank you so much for the call. You've said something very important. I was talking earlier at the opening. And by the way, Najiba, keep listening. I'm glad you discovered me. I've been discovered by Najiba. So Najiba, tell all your friends and families to tune in and check out American Family Radio and check out The Awakening, of course. Look, in this series that I'm this biblical worldview series on race that I'm doing, I talk about that very thing. The many stories that aren't told. Sergeant William Carney's is one of those, but there are many stories about America's compassion and decency and treatment of others, an attempt to solve problems. Those stories aren't told. The nobility of our country, that story is not told because the left has a narrative that they want to tell to make people hate America. They want our young people to resent our country. They want them to believe that, oh no, we don't need, this is the worst kind of system we'll ever have. We've got to have socialism in our country. We've got to have Marxism and communism. But they seed the ground by convincing people that our history is one of exploitation and racism and genocide and hatred. Well, look, you could tell the story of your life or my life by pointing out only the negative things and paint a pretty bad picture. And that's exactly what they're doing with our country. So Najiba, that's a very, very strong point you're making there. And you know, I started something called Celebrate American History Month. My organization has Stand America, Stand True to America's National Destiny. And we're gonna use September, because that's the month the Constitution was ratified, to highlight these wonderful stories. So, Najiba, we're going to tell the story of Sergeant William Carney. That's a wonderful, patriotic story to tell. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tracy in North Carolina. Tracy, welcome.
Oh, hey, Mr. Jackson. I want to say God bless you for your program. And since I discovered you a few months ago, I just keep my radio turned to AFR all day long.
Oh, great.
And I'm lucky enough that when I go to lunch, I get to hear one good hour of your, the second hour of your show. So I just wanted to touch on something. I don't want to get political because it just upsets me about the all this mess going on. But I just feel so blessed to her that Jesus just knocked me for a loop a couple of years ago and sent me to him. And I joined the local Pentecostal Holiness Church. And I'm going to tell you what's the truth. I hadn't had as much joy in my life as I have the last 2 years.
Praise God, Tracy. Praise God.
And just feel pulled so close every day more and more to him. And I truly believe from other people that are a lot more learned on this issue than I am, but I read my scripture every day and get down on my knees and pray for this country every morning and every evening and all my people. But I truly believe that something major is getting ready to happen very soon. I really do.
Yeah. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for the call and congratulations on your faith in Jesus Christ. I know it's a couple years, but still, you're still a relatively new Christian, and it's always exciting to hear people talk about how their lives have been transformed by a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Tracy, it is precisely your prayers and the prayers of all of those of you who are listening in behalf of this country why I am so optimistic and why I say America is not going down, because God cannot ignore our prayers and our pleas in behalf of our beloved country. Thank you so much, Tracy, for the call. You know, you brought a song to mind, but I'm not going to take time to, I'm not going to sing it, certainly. I want you all to stay with me, but I'm not going to recite the verses, but that was a very poignant call, Tracy. Thank you. But let's go to, I think we've got time to get to Gary in Ohio. Gary, welcome.
Well, hello. Can you hear me?
Hi, Gary.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Your radio's off in the background, isn't it?
Yes, it's off.
Okay. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I want to first thank AFR and thank you for your services. What I have to say, I'd like to have you comment on it, is I believe these masks are just the first part of Sign of the Beast. And what do I mean by that? You can't even go in Menards without buying. You read Revelations, it says you can't buy, trade, or sell with the sign until you have the sign of the beast. And the mask is just the start of it. I'd like to have your comments
wow.
on that. Thank you.
Well, you know what, Gary, and folks, that's why I tell you I love talking to you all, because you all can bring up some really profound points. And I'd never thought about that. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we do that can end up serving as a kind of dress rehearsal for what is going to happen in the future. And I'd never thought about that, not being able to go into a store, not being able to do business. Where's your mask? Where's your mask? Where's your number? Where's your mark? So you made a very, very interesting point there. And teaching people to be obedient and to be compliant. We'll be back in a moment.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
Friendships is offering an extraordinary opportunity to young men and women who want to grow in their walk with God, learn relief missions, experience the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you'd be interested in? Learn more about Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins January 11th.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
You know, I'm all over social media. There's nothing inherently horrible in it unless I'm trying to meet my need for belonging there.
You know, we're wired for authentic relationships with other people and with God. Dr. Kathy Cook explains on Focus on the Family Minute.
The need for belonging is legitimate, and it's going to be met with true accountability, responsibility, intimacy, knowing each other, sharing values, sharing ideas, hanging out, iron sharpening iron. You know, I obviously love that verse. Social media is an add-on to that. And I think one of the reasons that it can create a loneliness is we can fake it to make it there. And so we flip our identity in different groups, and we flip our identity when we're posting about different things, and we see inconsistency in people. They're desperately trying to fit in and figure it out, and it breaks you because you can't be all things to all people in that way, nor should you try to be.
Social media can be a great way to keep in touch, but don't let it become a replacement for real connections. More from Dr. Kathy at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
It's First Amendment Friday, folks, and we're focused primarily on taking your calls. There's some open lines. The number is 888-589-8840. So let's come back to your calls. Let's go to David in Texas. David, you've been patiently waiting.
Yes, sir. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm blessed, David. How are you?
I am doing most well, excellent today.
Good, good. So what's on your mind today?
Well, a lot of things on my mind, but I just had two comments. First off, I think God really has an excellent sense of humor.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
in what sense?
Well, the things going on with the courts. Amy Coney Barrett. I mean, who would have ever thought?
Okay.
The fact that Texas leading the way on this final thing with the vote, and I just have one question. If you all the campaigns. All the presidential campaigns, you know, you look at what Trump had, how many people showed up at his campaign, and how many people showed up at Biden's campaign.
Well, look, we know what the situation is. We know that there's simply no way that this vote count is correct. But David, you're right. I'm glad that Texas is leading the way. I'm glad that in fact, you didn't bring that up, but I think that you thought you were going to, and I'm glad that we've got Amy Coney Barrett on the court. David, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. I was thinking when you said about God having a sense of humor, the Bible says in Psalm 2:4, "He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision." And that's mainly because of the plans that human beings make, thinking that, as it says in the verse before, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." In other words, they're going to set themselves up to really lord it over God, and God just sits on his throne and laughs. So you're right. He does have a sense of humor in that sense, and perhaps in some other ways as well. Thank you for the call. Let's get to Manuel, also in Texas. By the way, for you Texas folks, you know the left is out to get you all. I hope you all are aware of that. Manuel, welcome.
This is Manuel from Texas, sir. How are you?
Manuel. I'm great, Manuel. Good to have you on the line.
Well, I have a little comment about all this crazy thing that is going on. Well, first of all, I'm gonna tell you I'm an immigrant from Honduras, and I came here, I believe, in 1998. I believe at the time who was the president was Mr. Bush. And one thing that actually impressed me about the people that I was born, that they was born here on United States, it was how proud, you know, you guys used to be, you know, about, you know, the government over here work or the system work. And what impressed me now is, you know, like when the other side wins, I mean, the other guy say the system doesn't work. And I don't know if you can explain that to me. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because when the other guy, when the other side lose, I mean, everybody thinks like start getting mad and saying that the system doesn't actually work. And I will say the other thing to me that it doesn't make sense is like when you not agree with the other side, you telling them that if they don't like the things on United States, they can go back or they can leave the country. That's like you telling me, you know, because I came here on asylum, you know, that's like you telling me stay there and fight. So I don't know if you understand that. And another thing that I want to comment.
Manuel, let me respond to what you've already said. Hold tight. Look, nobody is saying that people like you who care about this country, who want to be a part of it, who believe in its institutions, who want to enjoy its freedom, who want to enjoy its prosperity, who want to contribute to it. Nobody is saying that people like you should leave the country. You misunderstand me. There are people out there, they have nothing good to say about this country. Everything they say about this country is bad. America's racist. America's sexist. America did this. America did that. America's imperialist. America's no good. It's just one long list of complaints about the so-called social injustice of our country. Those are the people I'm inviting to leave because they don't like the country. They don't have anything good to say about the country. Those are the people who keep their mouths shut when communist China infects the entire world with this COVID-19 virus. They keep their mouths shut, but they criticize the president of the United States and call him a racist because he stops flights from coming in from China. So America's a racist country, and that just goes to prove it because he wouldn't let people come in from China. No, we don't want people coming from anywhere with this disease. I mean, that's common sense. It doesn't matter what the color of their skin is. So Manuel, don't mistake me. This is not about people who have come to this country and want to be a part of it and love it, no matter where they came from Honduras or Ukraine or Ethiopia or you name it, or China or anywhere else. It's about those people who express hatred for our country. As far as I'm concerned, they don't want to stand up for the flag. They don't think the Constitution is good. They don't like our free enterprise system. I just think they ought to go live somewhere else. So, Manuel, I've got to go on to some other calls, but thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. And I'll tell you, if you love America, I'm glad you're here. God bless you. Let's go to Angie in Alabama. Angie, welcome.
Hi, Brother Jackson. Hi. It is so good to meet you, and I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm calling today because I received a text message over the phone. And they thought I was somebody else from the previous person that had that number, all the way from Georgia, and asking me, they were claiming to be from the Black Voters Matters and wondering why I had not requested a ballot. I live in Alabama.
Wow.
So I thought that, you know, they're still fishing. for outside voters in Georgia. And I presume that it may be from, you know, share your thoughts, but it may be coming from the upcoming race.
Yeah, Angie, I'm so glad you called and shared that with us, because here's another instance of how vacuous and stupid the constant refrain we hear. Oh, there's no fraud. There's nothing wrong with our voting system. Everything. I mean, if they're sending you ballots in Alabama to vote in the Georgia election, something is wrong. And then following up to see why you didn't request, or following up with you to get you to request a ballot so that you can send in an illegal ballot. I mean, clearly something is wrong with our system. Angie, thank you so much for the call. But it brings me back to Manuel's comment that no matter who wins and who loses, the losing side says the system doesn't work. Well, first of all, let's make something clear. I did not say that our voting system did not work or does not work until the left started doing things to try to undermine the integrity of that system. I've never been one to just challenge elections because I thought people cheated, but the left with ballot harvesting, with these mail-in ballots, with no voter ID, with not checking signatures, with ballots appearing out of nowhere in suitcases under tables, while those who are supposed to be monitoring the count have been asked to leave. This is the kind of thing that makes you have to question it. I find out there are a lot of people who are here illegally, who are on the voting rolls. That's been documented by my friend J. Christian Adams, who runs Public Interest Law Firm and has investigated these things and found lots and lots of illegal immigrants on the rolls, people who are not eligible to vote in our country. So it's about the integrity of our voting system. The left wants to destroy it so they can cheat. The Democrat Party wants to destroy the integrity of our electoral system so they can cheat. You saw before all of this stuff broke out about the mail-in ballots, they were trying to figure out how to subvert the Electoral College. So it's not both sides. It's one side. It's the left that is trying to destroy the electoral integrity of our voting system. Wow, I'll tell you what, we didn't get to as many calls, but let's try to squeeze one more in because you've been very patient. Dennis in Michigan, you got about 30 seconds. Dennis, have at it.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll make this quick. I was stationed over in Europe during the Cold War guarding nuclear warheads, highly trained in NBC, nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare. The only mask adequate to sort out airborne contaminants is one with a filtration system that seals on your face.
Wow. Well, Dennis, you just confirmed in one scientific statement, stated very briefly and eloquently, and thank you for the call, Dennis, what all of us suspect, because this thing is spiking and yet everybody's wearing masks. Most people are wearing masks, but yet it's spiking. I don't believe that the masks do anything. I wear one out of courtesy to others so that people don't feel I'm disrespecting their sense of safety and security. But I don't believe the masks do a thing. I really don't. But thank you so much for confirming that, Dennis. Well, folks, it has been wonderful. I've gotten to talk to a lot of you today, and that's really, really been exciting and interesting for me. And I hope for all of you who have been listening as well. Look, keep the faith. This thing may seem like it's completely out of whack and out of hand. But you know, we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Somehow God is going to work this thing out. He has a plan. I may not know it, understand it, see it, but it's there. And I'm trusting that God's going to work this thing out for the good of our country, and that America's going to remain the land of the free and the home of the brave, the shining city on the hill. And don't you dare give up on that vision, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.